Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome you to Identity Theft of the Self. Do call in with your questions, comments, concerns at 845-277-9406. Call in to Identity Theft of the Self with John Warren and Ellen Hartwell at 845-277-9406. Let's discover together, what is the self? How do we use that inner unencumbered self to create the reality we desire? Call in, share your experience, 845-277-9406. And again, we welcome you to Identity Theft of the Self.
Hello, 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 and happy day after the Christmas here on Identity Theft of the Self. Oh, co-host John Warren, how are you today?
I'm terrific. I am over the moon. Happy Boxing Day to you.
Oh, happy Boxing Day, yes.
Yeah, I don't really know what that is.
Are you boxing anybody?
I am. I have a big match coming up with George Foreman
okay.
right after the show. I don't really...
Wait,
no,
John,
what?
You can't do that because I don't have a black dress.
Okay. Wow, you went right there. You just went there.
I did. I know what would happen
you
if
knock
you...
Me
well, honey, no, he'd kill you. No offense, but he'd flatten you like a pancake. Anyway, here we are.
Oh, okay.
Let's start over. Okay, let's start over.
Right.
Hi, everyone. Happy day after Christmas to you all. I hope your holiday has been wonderful. And today's subject is, what is love? Oh, God, you're not doing a show on love. Yes, we are. What is love? Now, I'm not talking necessarily, although I'm sure that will come in there, about erotic love, my boyfriend, my girlfriend, my beloved, my unrequited lover, or my requited lover, whatever that is. No, I'm talking about love as a verb, love as an action, because I think we so often forget what we mean when we say love. The authentic self only knows love. It doesn't know hate. It doesn't know resentment. It doesn't know any of its first cousins of resentment or hate. The authentic self only knows love. So when I say, for instance, I love chocolate, absolute fact, I certainly do. But it doesn't mean that I love chocolate the way I love my friends or my child or my partner or my God. It's a different kind of love. There's so many different kinds of love. But the authentic self does not delineate love for chocolate, love for child, love for God, love for family, love for country, whatever. It only knows love as a verb, as an action and an attitude, doing a duet and expressing itself, its highest self, its best self, forward, no matter what the circumstances are. So if we're unencumbered, as the authentic self is, by what other people think, race, mind, consciousness, our fears from the past, our fears of the future, if we're just authentic in the now, in the know, what happens is we truly can, if we take some time to practice it and get in touch with it, feel that love that doesn't differentiate. God is only love. God is an energy. God is a creative force. God, spirit, universe, you know the list. That's all that is love in different forms. And if we can get access that authentic self and make it a habit and a practice to do so, what happens is we begin to feel that all-encompassing love, which is for the trees, for the sky, for the birds, for the neighbor, for our friends, whatever. And yes, it can be more intense for our partner than it is for the twigs out in the yard. Still, we start to experience a rather global love within ourselves, which cannot help but express itself in a better attitude, a happier mood, a more willingness to accept people where they are, a more willingness within ourselves to listen and to care. I know you agree with all of this, John, don't you?
Yes, I'll be gone now. You're good.
Okay.
We're solid.
Thank you for joining me.
Once again, you slam dunked it, Ellen. And, I my addition almost always, and the rhythm here is because I love this, because it's one of those topics. It is one of those topics, Ellen, that is almost impossible to discuss because, I mean, it's not impossible to discuss, but it seems oblique. We have to talk around it as much as we talk about it and to get to the point. And I think you're exactly it. How do we get there? How do we get to that point where we are sitting in? We're talking about love, but what kept coming up for me as you were speaking just now, and is that peace that passeth all understanding, that sort of being in lodged in, and this is a great topic for the end of the year, because it's where we all want to sort of land, and it's where we want to manifest from. Love is where you want to manifest from. And I was just going to say, in response to what you just said, Ellen, is that there is, how do we get there? I mean, how do we get to that place? And again, I'm going to say over and over again, it's practice, practice, practice. And getting in touch with that thing that created you, Ernest Holmes would say that the thing called life, that seat, that still small voice, that if you're quiet and you practice being quiet, go into the silence, you can feel it and hear it. And that is the seedling. The great rabbi says, you know, the heaven is like a mustard seed. And, is a quote. It's, you know, it's like a mustard seed that will just grow, but it starts very small and it just grows and grows. And I sort of think when we're talking about the agape, the largest kind of love that we can talk about, that's what it is. And again, we have to get to this place. We have to get to this place of quiet. I mean, be still and know that I am God. We have to get to that place that is quiet so that we can be in that presence, and be in that love. And from there, we can add what it is that we're focused on, what it is that from there we can manifest. But, I mean, please note, over and over and over again, the manifestations in my life that last all emerge from that quiet place. I think we can manifest, Ellen. I actually don't think. I know. We can manifest from a place that is not totally connected to that love, that agape love, that grounding love. But they tend not to last. And they tend to, those manifestations tend to snap back into whatever level of consciousness we're actually at. So, in other words, I think we can manifest $50,000 this month, but if you have a $5,000 a month consciousness, you can force the $50,000 manifestation if you practice enough. But you'll snap back to $5,000 because it's not grounded in the ground of all being, that place of pure love. And my senses, and this is very interesting, the reality is, and my sense is, Ellen, that, because I don't want to say I know this, I am absolutely sure of this, but my sense is the more that I practice, that this is one of those areas that we're all going toward. That's the practice we're moving toward, which is pure being able to stay grounded, however you want to put it, in agape love, in the ground of all being, in the house of your, in my Father's house, however we phrase it, and manifest from there, then we are manifesting and expanding. We are expanding, and we're not going to snap back. There will be no snap back. But again, I think it takes practice. And for me, I will say, it's prayer. You know, prayer and meditation are where I get to that grounding where I can be in a state of love. And I'm sure I'll have something to say about, you know, I love chocolate. I love actually Ben and Jerry's. I love it too much. You can ask my gut. You can ask my belly about that. I love a lot of things. And romantic love is an avenue. It is a kind of sideways way to get to. Because what we're seeing when we fall in romantic love, you know, the highest part of us in that moment, or the highest potential in that moment, is recognizing the highest potential in another person. Now, some of that, actually, to be quite blunt about it, means we need to reproduce. That's the biological underpinning of that. But that's still, you know, we're sort of hypnotized into it. But there is a recognition that is actually an emergent, that is emergent out of pure love. It is an avenue to grow. It is a way of growing. I don't know a soul. I do not know a soul. I do not know a soul that has not fallen in love, either with someone who is in love with them back, or with someone who wasn't, who hasn't grown spiritually. It is almost a requirement to grow spiritually, it would seem. If you want to grow spiritually, at some point you will probably fall in love. There.
Is that a threat, or is that a promise?
We're talking about love, Ellen, but I want to say, but just, I'll just say, but isn't that the case? I mean, at some point,
yes,
if we contextualize our romantic hurts around, did I grow spiritually, there's actually a healing that can happen much more rapidly. Did this cause me to grow spiritually? And if it did, you know, did it cause me to grow and change? And once we understand that we invite these things, and I believe me, I want romantic love to last forever, too. I hope everybody's, you know, that wants a romantic relationship gets one, and it lasts forever, your entire life. But even that is a form of growth. That is a form of spiritual growth. That is two people coming together in order to get closer to the God of their understanding in the simplest forms. Being, I can't worry about the list of being politically correct, but that is what the point is. And sometimes that takes the form of making new versions of us, reproducing. How's that?
Okay.
How'd I do, Ellen?
Well, we'll talk after the show, and moving right along from that, you said something earlier about the peace that passeth understanding, and I have a question about that. Do you have to have a lisp in order to be a Christian?
Okay, I don't know. Oh, do you have to have a lisp? I thought you said lisp. I was like, a list of what? You know, I like to make a list, dog. Yes, yes. In order to become a Christian, you need to make a list first.
I needed to be sure on that, you know, because it sounded like it.
Lisp.
But then
okay.
Again, you didn't
you
lisp in the beginning, but you
okay,
did at
no,
the
you
end.
Waited,
so I
you
just
did.
Wanted to make sure. Uh-huh.
Okay, you
yeah.
waited very patiently to get that joke in, and I hope you're proud of
I
yourself.
I did. I am.
I'm
very
yeah.
proud of myself.
Yeah.
And I also want to ask you, so you feel that when two people fall in love, they have a natural inclination or tendency to reproduce. Do you mean that literally, like as in kitties?
Oh, no, that's
or
an element of it.
That,
I mean, as in what? Children, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Ellen,
okay.
part of it is, I mean, part of the biological reason for falling in love with people of the opposite sex, if that's the way you're built, is in fact because we're recognizing the importance of, I want to do something as high as I can do, and part of that is reproduction. I mean, there's no question about that. That's not the totality of romantic love, and that's not why you have to, why people necessarily fall in love, but absolutely, it's a part of it. For some people, it's a part of it. And making new humans is a really, really very near the top of the list important thing to do.
Oh.
How's that? Is that crazy? Did I just sound crazy? I don't know. I mean it. Yes. I mean, that is part of it. And obviously, not for everybody, not for people who aren't interested in having children or past the age of having children, who are gay, or all sorts of ways to be romantically in love that have nothing to do with reproducing. And
okay,
but
good.
Some
so
of it does. Does that
well.
Make sense?
Yeah. Yes, it does. It does. Mm-hmm. I think that some of us want to reproduce and some of us don't, but it doesn't mean
oh, sure.
that you don't love if you choose not to reproduce. That's all.
Oh,
you
no,
scared
no,
me there
no.
because, honey, I'm 66 and I don't want to reproduce anymore. No. No. So
okay.
I'm really
I
glad
didn't say
that
everybody. I'm pretty conscientious about the exact words. I didn't want to mislead there. That is some of what we call romantic love. Some of it is a biological impulse to reproduce with some people sometimes. A lot of it isn't. I have fallen in love with people I would never have children with. Never.
No. Okay, no. So I just wanted to make sure that we didn't have people running out and getting pregnant to express their spirituality.
Yeah.
We are going to take a quick break right here on Identity Theft of the Self, and we will be right back. You know those laundry products that you can spray on your clothes or rub into your clothes to remove stains? Yeah, we've all tried them. Some of them actually work, too. Well, like laundry, we get stains on our soul from race, mind, consciousness. We believe things that aren't actually true. Our parents have told us things that aren't actually true. Our neighbors, our friends, whatever. We've talked about that a lot on this show. And the authentic self is unencumbered by any stain or spot of things that people have told us or taught us that just aren't true. So we all need a spot remover once in a while. You know that, right? I mean, I know I do, and I believe you do too. So if you need a spot remover, I have one, and it works every single time. All you have to do is go to my website, ellenhartwell.com, find John Warren's page, click on that, set up a time to talk with him, and I'll tell you, he will help you quickly to get the spots off of your spirit, your soul, so that you can then create the reality you truly desire. He is an excellent spot remover, so go for it. Get a hold of John Warren at ellenhartwell.com. Book a time with him, and he'll astound you with his insight and how quickly he can get to those little spots that are around that really blemish you so that you don't create exactly what you want. So contact John today at ellenhartwell.com. Didn't know you were a spot remover, did you, John?
No, you know what? That totally surprised me. Did you just make that up? Oh, that's very nice. I'm using it. And it is a spot remover. Oh, Ellen, I will tell you something. 90% of what we do, I love that metaphor, even though you did not warn me about this, but I'll take it. It's taking things that we either know we believe that are harming us or we don't know that we are carrying around and uncovering, recovering, and then discarding those things that do not serve us and that do cause us pain, or going, oh, I actually do want that to happen, so I'm keeping that one, that belief. But, oh, that 90% of it is, I think our work spiritually is a kind of spot remover. Spot acceptance, too, going, oh, no, I like that spot. It wounded me early on, but now it's part of me, and it's helped other people, so I'm keeping it. And so, I love that ad. Please play it all the time. Over and over again.
Okay, we'll be right back. No, I'm not going to do it again right now, but you will hear it again. Yes, and this is Identity Theft of the Self. Now, in this next segment here, what we're going to be talking about is what love is, and is it an attitude? Is it an action? Yes. And it's also love forgives and love absolutely gives grace. Now, I want to make it clear that we can forgive somebody and offer grace and all that. It doesn't mean that we necessarily want to hang out with that person. So don't confuse forgiving someone with, okay, I've forgiven you and now you're my new BFF. No. Forgiveness is a gift we give ourselves. And technically, in my opinion, here's a can of worms. But anyway, I don't think we can forgive anyone else. I think we can only forgive ourselves. But that's another show. So for right now, I can forgive myself for mistakes I've made, and so I forgive you. And I don't want to be unforgiven. If I make a goof or I do something dumb or whatever, I want to be forgiven. I want that forgiveness because I'm not perfect. I hate to burst your bubble, but I'm not. And therefore, I want and need forgiveness, especially from myself, but from you too, you meaning general you. And so when I ask for forgiveness, I truly want to get it, and I'm sure vice versa. That is a form of love. It's so easy to talk about what love isn't. It's much more difficult to talk about what love is. And one of the things that I believe love is forgiveness. If I can forgive myself, I'm expressing love towards myself and, of course, towards others. That, yeah, okay, I forgive you. You were a bonehead. Okay, I forgive you. Done deal. Why? Not because I'm such a wonderful person and so forgiving, but because I want to be forgiven. So from a manifestation perspective, what I put out, I'm going to get back. So I work at forgiving myself and others so that I receive it when I need it. Love, part of what love is forgiveness. Don't you think so, John?
Well, I think you have to do it, yes. I mean, my sense is, and again, Ellen, all of this, as gooey and as ooey, and we get into love and the airy-fairy and let's have a drum circle on the beach, all of this stuff, it's always important, Ellen, and I, you know, you do this and I do this too, is to get back to what is the practical application of this, because you are big on this. You're the one who said to me early on, hit the apply button, hit the apply button. How many times do we need to forgive? You know, 7 times 70. Why is that sort of a direction, and what is it about forgiveness? Because it allows us to do what we want or need to do in terms of manifestation. Nothing stops a manifestation from happening more than resentment. And, or I won't say stop it, or stops our growth. Because in the end, what we're doing here is essentially going back home, going back to a unity, growing spiritually, stop our growth or stop even a basic manifestation from happening, than a frustration or a resentment. It is the number one offender. It will slow it down to a snail's pace. I believe that they still happen on some level over a lifetime or a period of lifetimes of manifestation, something we're working on. But it will slow, it's like suddenly stepping into tar. And when we let go, and when we forgive, what that does is loosen up all the energies that are being directed. It is, you know, when we don't forgive, we're drinking the resentment, which is, you know, a poison that I fix for you that I drink myself. And it slows us down. And the reason why we do it and why it's connected to love, because love is the energy that manifests and not forgiving. Love is the energy that manifests, and not forgiving stops the law from happening, which is the focusing our thought and our emotional life towards something that we're working on or that we want to manifest. If we're stuck in, and if I'm having an argument with somebody who's not in the room, and we've all done this, how many times have we had arguments, especially at this time of year, where we're often with family members that can push our buttons, and you drive away and you're having the argument and you're rehashing it in our mind. And the quicker we can get to, I'm going to forgive that or let it go. And you also taught me, Ellen, and I think it's important to remind people, is just because I'm going to forgive doesn't mean I like it. Doesn't mean I'm going to run back and get into that situation again. Doesn't mean I'm going to have dinner with people who drive me up a wall. But it does mean that I'm going to let go of it and I'm going to forgive. You know, early on in my study, a mentor said to me, John, you need to actually choose a God that you would have dinner with. Right now, you've got a very angry, annoying God that you don't like. And you know, but that's very true, just because, but in order to let go, and Ellen, sometimes this is easy for me, and sometimes it is hard, because my ego wants to win. You know, there's a phrase around 12-step programs that goes something like, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? And I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I don't totally agree with that phraseology spiritually. But I get the point, and the point is, do you want to keep going over and over about this argument or lack of forgiveness, which disconnects you from that ground of all being, which is love? The resentment is a way of unplugging from the thing that gives you the power to go where you want to go.
I agree with you, John. I'm going to make you return to that, but we do have a caller, and I don't want them to wait too long. So we're going to take this caller, and we'll go back to that really good stuff. Okay, area code 414, you are live on the air. Thank you for calling our show. May I have your name, please? Hello, you are live on the air. May I have your name, please? Okay. I can't hear you, so I am going to say thank you for calling in. Try again. Are you there? I guess not. Okay.
All
right. anyway, so, you know,
We forgive technology for that. Just going to move on.
I could hear the person, but for some reason they weren't picking up. So, anyway, as we move into this segment, we only have a few more minutes left in this, is we have an ability, John, to have dinner with people we don't like. We just choose not to. We can we pull it off?
Yeah.
Sure. But we dignify our own self by being loving to ourselves as well. I don't want to have dinner with some nasty person, in my opinion, nasty, who I don't have anything in common with, or someone who makes my teeth itch. I'm going to go, you know what, no thank you, God bless you, may you live long and prosper somewhere else. I'd rather have dinner with someone I get along with. So we have free will. We can do that. And sometimes love says, yeah, and I hear you, but, you know, have a little conversation with that person. Anyway, you don't have to break bread with them, but, you know, make sure you're polite, make sure you're pleasant, and so forth, of course. But do we seek out being miserable just to prove we can be loving? Of course not, because that's not loving to ourselves. Why would we do that? No, I agree with you 100%. No, we want to be with like-minded people, so we manifest like-minded people, and believe me, they'll show up, and those that aren't will fall away, hopefully gracefully. So I think that love as an attitude and an action says, yeah, and I love myself too, or at least I like myself enough not to have dinner with somebody that sits there and picks their nose while I'm trying to eat my soup.
It's a quality problem right there, though. You got to keep the stay on the gratitude side. Remember, you got soup and you have friends that have noses, so that's good. That's on the plus side.
That is. Thank you, God, that my friends have noses. However, that's fine.
I know there's a couple. I know there's a couple more seconds on that, so I just want to, you know, sometimes I get going, and I want to sort of again hit the point in the hit slam dunk on the point, which is the reason why we go into arenas called forgiveness is to loosen up and get out of our own way and to allow the love to flow, because it is natural for love to be expressing through us, that ground of all being, whatever you want to call it, to be expressing through us. And the resentments and lack of forgiveness, and I'm not talking about Sunday school stuff, I'm talking about myself, and I know this from my own life, lack of forgiveness causes us to not expand, and eventually it causes us to contract, and that contraction causes pain. It causes us pain to not forgive, because in contraction is an unnatural state for a human soul, a soul that is expressing as a human being. And the reason why we forgive is quite simple, because it allows us to reconnect to our source of power.
So if we're not in a state of love in some form towards ourselves, then we feel disconnected from our source, like being unplugged from a light socket.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think being plugged in and talking about the love, the kind of love that we are mostly talking about on this show, is being connected to your own source and being in a state of love like that, they're one and the same thing. One is the other, and the other is the first thing. What am I trying to say? You know what I mean? It's too early. But yeah, I think one or another. And if you want, you know, you want to cut that off really quickly, get in an argument with somebody in your head, or think of, you know, the third grade teacher that you still are holding on to a resentment about because she embarrassed you in front of the girl you liked. Or, you know, how many times have we, you know, done this? And I'm not saying that you can forgive immediately, but the goal, whatever our process is, the goal needs to be, we need to let go of the pains and the hurts that have been caused by us, by other people, because it stops us from growing. And that is forgiveness. It stops us from being connected to the soil, I guess, the ground of all being.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. I think that, you know, love is a very important feeling thought, because I think it's both, to be in touch with, and when we make a practice. Brief commercial break here on Identity Theft of the Self.
Did you know that Maria offers Reiki healing? I know you know she's a superior tarot card reader and also just straight clairvoyant reader, but did you know she offers Reiki healings? She does, and she's a master at it. She's had her training. She knows what she's talking about. She knows what she's doing, and she'll clear the energy centers in your body. And what does that do for you? Well, it makes you feel better. It gives you more energy, and you're able to manifest better because there's a clear flow between all of your chakras. So contact Maria today for your Reiki healing. That's askmarianow.info. askmarianow.info, and really enjoy her site and get in touch with her for a tarot card reading, clairvoyant reading, Reiki healing. She does it all. So contact Maria at askmarianow.info.
Yes, indeed, our very own Maria. She's superior and multi-talented. Here we are in Identity Theft of the Self, talking about what is love. And one of the things that love is an expression of the authentic self. And when we're authentic, we're spontaneous, we tend to be happy, we tend to not care so much anyway, if at all, about what other people think. We kind of shed the skin of the past, stay in the now, and know that we're just fine, just as we are right now, a work in progress, just like everyone else. And that kind of inner freedom is an expression of love, because it's not hampered, it's not hindered, it's not, well, what are you going to think of me if I just suddenly say, hallelujah? Well, if I don't care about that too much anyway, what you say, I have an expression that's much more bold and deep and broad and wide and clear. Whereas if I'm nervous about what you're going to think of me, or I'm not saying it right, or I'm not doing it right, or whatever, then I get very constricted and confined, and the authentic self is ever expanding. It's not contracting. It's ever expanding. And so love, as in an expression of, no, I don't hate anything. I might say it in the moment, oh, I hate it when I stub my toe. But really, do I hate anything? If I do, okay, then I do, and that's a place that I need to heal, so that I honestly am not thinking about how much I hate this and hate that and hate the other thing. But no, let me let go of my resentments. Let me release my negative thought patterns and behaviors and release them harmless into the universe, so that I am free to love and also be loved. Because if I can't be loving toward me, how can I be loving toward you, and vice versa? So as we show more love and express it in as many ways as we can, and really practice that and being in touch with the authentic self, we have more love in our lives, not only for ourselves but others. And guess what? God being the great multiplier, it comes back to us and comes back to us and comes back to us more and more and more. Don't you think so, John, over there, ripping up tinfoil?
Was I ripping up tinfoil? I was not.
It sounded like it. Were too.
It did? I am absolutely stock still. I'm stock
did
still.
Not.
I'm not ripping up.
Are not. Yes, you are.
Okay.
Anyway, John, yes.
Yeah, I don't remember what the topic was. What was it again? Oh, yeah, love. Yes, God is the great multiplier, Ellen. It is. We want to be in this state of grace as much as possible, and I don't like the phrase "state of grace," even though I just said it. But as a way of getting to a point, bringing up something, we want to get into a state of repose, so that we can be in our power. And I mean, I think that's the point that you are making. And the more we practice letting go of the things that are, we are, that are holding us back from that state of repose. They're blocking. They're clogging the way. They're in the seat that we want to sit in, and we need to move them out of the way. The more that we do that, the easier it becomes to become a master. And again, I keep coming back to this. That is the goal. I mean, that is where we're headed. That's what we want. We want to be in a place where we are unfolding in our natural state, and our natural state is to unfold. Life is an unfoldment, and to be consciously pushing the unfoldment, allowing the unfoldment, creating the unfoldment, and we have to be out of the way of our resentments and our frustrations, our pains, our sorrows. That does not mean, it does not mean that we are in denial about anything. And this is, I want to use a phrase here. This is a separate the men from the boys arena when it comes to spiritual practice, and I truly believe this, Ellen, is there's a difference between I am turning away from that, even though it is a reality, and being in, I am avoiding and pretending, I am avoiding that reality. Because there are times when what we would call denial actually works, because that's the best I could do right now in terms of getting to the other shore, the place we want to be. But in other words, we don't pretend that the pain that's been caused in our life, or that we've caused in other people's lives, didn't happen or shouldn't happen, but we work with it to the degree and the amount that we need to in order to change it into something that can propel us to love. We infuse it with love, with the ground of all being, the source, and propel us ourselves forward with it. So we don't avoid our pain. We don't avoid our resentments. We don't avoid the stubbed toes. We don't stub our toe and then pretend that we didn't just stub our toe. What we do is acknowledge it and turn away from it as soon as we can, I guess is what I want to say, honestly and with integrity, so that we're not multiplying it. What we don't want to do is multiply it. What a resentment does is multiply resentments. What lack of forgiveness does is create lack of forgiveness from others for us. And that's where, you know, again, we are disconnected from love and disconnected from the source, the ground of all being. And we want to be connected there because we want to grow.
Right, and of course we always are connected there, but we want to be fully aware of that. And it's like when we're driving down the road and somebody cuts us off and we go, son of a rutabaga. You know, I'm training myself with some success and more every day because I'm practicing it. When someone cuts me off like that, I go, well, maybe they're in a terrible hurry because they're ill, or they're rushing to help someone else, or whatever. I mean, maybe they're in some state of crisis. Maybe it's not just because they're a horrible driver. And so then what I do is I say a little prayer for them. I hope they get to where they're going and that anyone connected to them is okay and that all is good in their world, a blessing, in other words. And the more I practice that, the less annoyed and aggravated I get with crazy drivers and insensitive people, et cetera, because it is all my judgment. And so I have to be careful of that. There's a difference between discernment and judgment. Love discerns, the flesh judges. So if I go, well, maybe he's just in a terrible hurry. Ooh, I hope he and his family and loved ones are okay, or she. And that, you know, there's got to be a reason that I don't know. So I'll just wish them the best, and thank God I didn't plow into them as they cut me off. Otherwise, I'm like, stupid driver, and where does that get me? Nothing. And, of course, because I'm always creating, I'll create more of that. And I don't want to. So it's not that I bless them because I'm such a sweet, loving little old lady. No, it's because I don't want all that bad crap to come on me. That's why.
Yeah, yeah. No, no, that's very funny. Because you're such a sweet, loving little lady. And the other thing is, sometimes the best I can do, Ellen, in that context, and these are quality problems. I mean, again, go back to being silly, but the quality problems that we have a car and we have smooth roads to be on, and you know, these are good problems to have. Not that they're not problems, but always remind myself that, like, okay, you know what, I have a car. I'm grateful that I am in the position to be cut off by someone. Now, that doesn't mean – the other thing to go is that I can usually get to, okay, that person behaved that way because they're expressing some level of pain and I can have compassion about that. Sometimes – I mean, not usually. I can get there sometimes. There are other times – well, I will say to you is that, like, it's a good – also a good practice to remind yourself to be in a state of love even when the best you can do is to call that guy – that person who cut you off a name. No, they're just behaving horribly. That's the whole truth. I can't get any more compassionate about it than that, and I'm still going to see if I can't let this go and move on. And I'm going to transmute this situation because I do not want it to multiply. I'm going to transmute it as quickly as I possibly can without causing more pain and destruction and causing it for myself. And you know, that's sort of, you know, again, the practice, when we say over and over again, this practice is practical. It's not Sunday school. Be a good person. You go to the head of the class. God will give you many indulgences and you get to skip 20 years in purgatory. It's not that at all. It's because it is, are you not Catholic enough to get that reference?
I know what purgatory is.
We do this stuff because it helps us to grow. And if you're interested, if you're listening to this, that means you're vibrating at least on a similar enough level to want to grow and to move forward. And so, being in that state of grace and state of love allows us to manifest. And manifestation, when you get better and better at it, is fun. It's actually fun.
It is. And it's wonderful to have a sense of being able to practice it in the darndest moments. For instance, the other day, I had to deal with someone who was going to be a shyster. It had to do with a vehicle. And I was fuming. I was very angry. I was ticked off. And I recognized it, of course. And I stayed firm, solid, never raised my voice, never cursed or anything, just stayed firm in the truth, which was, this isn't right, you're going to make it right. And guess what? It's all working out beautifully. And had I gone in there and, you son of a turn up, how blankety blanking, blanking dare you? You pull this poopy on me. How dare you? It wouldn't have gone well. And so even though on the inside I was really ripping, I kept a lid on it and I let the authentic self come out and go, this guy doesn't know any better. Whether he should or not is irrelevant. He doesn't know any better. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be firm. I'm going to be clear. I'm going to have a show of force, without violence, of course. But I'm going to let him know that he is dealing with an individualized expression of God. But I'm not going to be nasty or hateful or lose my temper. And it all worked out really well. And the girl that worked there said, if you hadn't done that, he will get really ugly. So isn't that wonderful that there was an opportunity to practice that even when I didn't want to? And guess what? I felt better about me that I didn't, you know, call him what I was thinking.
I know we have a break, Ellen, but I just want to say I have a similar situation. You know, I mean, we all are with family very much around this time of year, and I will talk about it after the break.
You will?
Yeah, I will.
You promise? Okay.
I don't know. I'm going to have to crinkle some tin foil, though, if that's okay with you.
Okay. Are we getting snarky here or just being funny?
Both. They're not
am I in for it, man? What about love, John? Okay, we are going to take a break here while John crinkles tinfoil, and we will be right back here on Identity Theft of the Self.
Maria and I offer twice-seen readings on my website, ellenhartwell.com. Click on the tab, order your reading, and Maria and I will read for you together. It sounds confusing, but actually there's a real flow to it. Maria gets her perspective, I get my perspective, and we get an in-depth, insightful view into whatever your questions are. Twice-seen readings are not only informative, they're fun. So talk to two clairvoyants today. Go to ellenhartwell.com and click on the twice-seen reading tab.
There you go. Twice seen reading. Lots of fun to talk about having a good time.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yes, John, what is it you are you done crinkling your tinfoil? What were you going to say?
I'm done. I've gone full on. I've just put a colander on my head, so I don't need any more tinfoil. But the colander will protect me from the evil
perfect.
Rays.
It does protect
the CIA.
Just make sure you put a little bit of saran wrap under the colander so that none can get through those little holes.
All right. So yesterday, I'll just say the practice is, in terms of transmuting a moment like that, Ellen, where we're transmuting it back to a higher outcome, and it's one of the best practices. I mean, this is one of those things, especially, if you've been unconscious for a little while or you're in a situation that you've went, oh, how did I create this? And they can be tiny. And some of the best practice around this can be in these tiny moments of, last night I stopped by on the way home from a Christmas dinner and got something. And there was one cashier because, it was Christmas night. I need to stop by and get something for the morning. It was a drugstore. And there's one cashier and the person is just, but there are other people in line, and the cashier is just shooting the shinola with the woman, the person who was purchasing items, and it was very like casual, like no one else existed in the world, and I felt myself starting to get like, I am being just, there are other, newsflash, other people exist, and I just decided in that moment, nope, it is Christmas night, I had a lovely day, I'm not going here. Because I don't know if this is spirit spent to the point where I am manifesting, where I'm having to wait a few minutes. I don't know what else is at play here. I need to be a few minutes later to get home because of something on the roads. I have no idea what's going on here in the largest sense. So what I'm going to do is just be in love and get a kick out of how much those two and me were enjoying the conversation. What a lovely day I had. And I started imbuing the whole thing with light. And honestly, at one point she turned and went, oh my goodness, look at the line. I'm so sorry. And then she was done and she moved on. Now, I don't know that I'm magically thinking that into existence. What I know is I adjusted my attitude and it moved and went on to the highest level. Now, even if she had gone on, that conversation had gone for five more minutes, I'd rather be in that state of, I'm really good right here, right now. I don't know what's happening overall, but I feel good. And I'm glad to feel good because that creates the next moment. In this moment, I'm creating the next moment and creating the next thing. And who is in the world is to say? I have no idea what that conversation was about, but they're working on, one's working on Christmas night and the other one may have been lonely for all I know. And what I do know is that I didn't have a bitter moment of like, because I could be the guy who says, other people exist. I can go there and sort of be the obnoxious one and say, can we move on? There's other people here. I've been that guy before, and I know the outcome of that too. You know who feels bad after that? Maybe I win the moment, but you know who ends up feeling bad about that and down? Me. Not them, me. And I'm not willing to go there. So that was a very tiny moment. Again, situation very similar in my family, and I won't go into details, but there was a couple of things blurted out at dinner yesterday, like can happen in a big family environment where there's a lot of people and kids running around. And I just decided for myself that I was going to stay adjusted and in light, and I didn't need to win an argument. I didn't need to prove anything to anybody. I needed to, because I knew what was blurted out came out of some frustration and pain. And it's not my business to win that argument in that moment. And you know what? It didn't ruin the day. It could have ruined the day. And the day turned out fine, and the kids opened their gifts, and it was so much fun, and we had fun. I made a mental adjustment in that moment to stay in the present and to stay in, like, no, you know what's happening here right now? It's fun and light and love and togetherness. That's what's happening right here. And it didn't even take that long. And everybody readjusted. And it wasn't like we sat around and decided to talk about the spiritual reasons why we need to not have this argument. But it was just sort of like, one of us, at least I did, and I, my sense is, my hunch is, a couple other people decided to bring light into the room instead of argumentativeness. And adjustments were made. Things changed. And I do it my own private way. I ask for the God that I believe in. It's like, you know what? I need your presence here right now. Please be present here and heal. What's this is about? Let's have a good day. I am a person who has a good day on Christmas with my family. And that's who I was. And that's what happened. And it's beautiful. We get to practice this stuff in the moment. You know what I mean, Ellen? We practice it in the moment.
Of course. And that's healing. Love heals. Love can only heal. If, you know, I tell people all the time in my work, boy, do I want to get him, you know, he did this or she did that or whatever, and boy, am I going to fix his wagon. And I go, yep, I hear it. Don't blame you. Would want to myself. But really, let's think about that, because you're telling me that you love this person and yet you want to cause him harm? Wait a minute. No, that does not go hand in hand. So you either don't love him or her, or you're just so angry right now you can't get in touch with your love. But love is always healing. Love never wants to cause harm. And so when we pay attention to that, we can replace thoughts of resentment and revenge and that's not fair, injustice and whatever, with an action of love. And you will be amazed, ladies and gentlemen, I know I have been on occasion and will be more so the more I practice it, what happens when I replace a loving action, which sometimes is to do and say nothing, not a word, not even, don't roll your eyes, don't make those weird faces, don't tap your foot, just have literally no response, but on the inside you're thinking, love, love, love. I may not love that person, I may not love this circumstance, but I love God. Or I may really love this person, but right now I'm all really hurt or angry or whatever it is, and I'm just not going to say anything, because until I can recognize that love states very clearly the stuff that person is made out of is the same stuff I'm made out of. So we're equals. We may do different things with our talent, but it doesn't mean we're not equal, because we are. And love doesn't demand. Love doesn't chase. Love doesn't do these things. Love is an invitation. And we always have an opportunity to invite rage and anger and resentment and hurt and fear and blah, 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 blah into whatever we're doing, or we can invite love into it. And the more we practice this, the better we get at inviting love into a situation. And then guess what? That gets multiplied. So we practice it. We have more peace of mind. We have more of a sense of loving ourselves, or caring at least very much about ourselves. And our life gets brighter and better because we're choosing love.
And also, it's the most efficient thing. I mean, again, I'm always of the, and let's not be dishonest about this. There has been a time in my life that is mostly past where the eruption of needing to be right. It's more important to me right now to be right, and I'm going to get some more out of it. But the truth is, what you just talked about, Ellen, that practice of being patient and present and adding love to the situation instead of vengeance or rightness or justice, one of my bugaboo words right now that gets overused, and adding love and peace and serenity and understanding and compassion, it's also more efficient. I mean, it takes a while to understand how it's more efficient. It's taken a while for me, and it takes a while for the people that I work with to understand, oh, no, this is more efficient. This actually allows the highest outcome. this allows the best thing to happen. It may not be as satisfying as the explosion of frustration or resentment that you, but in the long run, it is much more satisfying. There's no backlash to it. That's the other thing about love. There's no backlash to love. When we add love, there's no consequence that is going to cause more pain. In fact, the consequence of adding love is, in fact, more love and more peace and more light and more serenity. And, and that's what's so, efficient about it. It's like, I'm grateful I had that moment of, oh, no, you know what? I don't know that. I'm not saying I magically made that woman turn and say, oh, sorry, I didn't realize. To me, I don't think I magically did that. What I did do was add to that situation. And so today, or driving home the little half a mile from that store to my home, I had the satisfaction of being more at peace than I would have been had I snapped and been snarky. And that then, and maybe I did magically, connect with her and she, not magically, but, sort of psychically connect with her and she, and maybe that did happen. But that's actually beside the point. I added more peace. And so when I'm driving home and when I'm going to bed and when I'm waking up, there is less or no backlash. There's no like, oh, I can't believe I did that yesterday. Or, the world is a harsh and ugly place full of people who are thoughtless. I didn't add to that belief system. In fact, I added to the belief system that that creates worlds that are full of love, which is, people are kind to each other at checkout lines, and the world works out the way it's supposed to. And I got exactly what I needed and wanted in a timely manner, and it was efficient. And I added to that, people chit-chatting with each other is actually a good thing. She'd gone on for 20 minutes, would have been a different story, but she didn't. And so what we add when we add patience and kindness and love is beneficial to us. It made my rest. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's the whole thing. This isn't about being a goody-two-shoes and kumbaya all over the place. This is about practicing what we believe in every detail of our lives. Do we do that? Heck no. But can we get better and better at it? Yes, and when we're in love with somebody, or whether we love as a friend or we love our dog, whatever, we can practice that, and guess what? We're more patient, we're happier, we're calmer, and we have fewer and fewer reasons to be resentful because we're putting love on the resentment. Love heals the wound. And so someone acts like a flaming idiot, we can put love on that and go, well, maybe they're having a bad day. Lord knows I've done things like that. I'm not entitled. And anytime I feel entitled, I need to put love on that and go, hey, I'll let them have their little chat. That's fine. Or where do I have to be that I can't wait 10 minutes for two people to connect? Nowhere.
Yeah.
And if it is an emergency, of course, I'll state it. I'll say so. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I have to fly. Okay. But in general, we don't have emergencies. And in general, we can wait those 10 minutes. And in general, we can offer the hand of forgiveness, et cetera, because we're loving our way through. And the more we do it, the easier it gets. Now, John, next week, our show is going to be a practical application of this, which is the authentic self in action, or everything you wanted to know about why we practice and are not at all afraid to ask. Because we don't do this because we're such wonderful people, such godly, spiritual people. No, that's not why we do it. We do it because as we practice these things, as we love the wound, as we heal, as we grow, as we practice, we feel better, we're happier, we have more of what we want in our life. Isn't that right, John?
Oh, it's absolutely right. It's 120% right. And by virtue of manifesting that stuff, what we're doing is connecting ourselves to our source more and more and more. And actually, eventually, I don't think there's any great shakes, any great reason to worry about it right now. But eventually, what people are really manifesting is just God, the presence of God. And if you start, you need to practice with $20 or a new car or whatever it is that you're practicing with, fine, start there. But yes, absolutely. What you're doing finally with all manifestations, what we are doing is connecting yourself and a place to your source, and understanding that you cannot be disconnected from that source. It's a beautiful thing, Ellen.
It is. We are no longer live.